Morning, that I'm thrilled to be here to stand in this place and allow us to worship together, however we might.
我再次要跟大家说，我非常的激动，今天我能够站在这里和大家一起来敬拜我们的主。
As children in America, at least those of us that grew up in the church, we learned something about how to understand the church.
作为一个在美国长大的孩子，特别是那些从小就在教会里长大的儿童，我们学会了一个儿歌，来帮助我们理解什么是教会。
And because we learned it as children, there are also hand motions that go along with it.
因为当时我们是孩子，所以念这首儿歌的时候，我们常常在配上手的动作。
Now, if we were all together, I could watch carefully to make sure that everyone is doing the hand motions. But because many of you are at home, I'm just going to have to trust that you're doing it along with us.
那如果大家都在现场的话，我会看是不是大家都在做这个手的动作。不过现在我只能相信你们也会跟着在做。
So let's learn it together and see if it can help become a focal point for this morning's service, this morning's sermon.
我们来看大家是不是可以跟着做，因为这个是我们今天信息的一个主题。
So we start out like this.
我们一开始是这样子的，这个手两个手放在一起。
We say, here's the church.
我们说这是教堂。
We say, here's the steeple.
这是教堂的尖塔。
And if you open the door, you can see all the people.
如果你把门打开，你看到所有的人。
And almost every child that grows up in America who goes to church understands that the people are inside the church.
每一个在美国长大的去教会的孩子都知道所有的人都在教会里边。
Of course, during the pandemic, this isn't a very good description of the church.
当然在这个疫情之中，这个描述跟现实可能是有点差距。
In fact, I can't remember a time in my life where the people have been so separated from the steeple.
事实上，在我的记忆中间，在教会的近代的历史上，从来没有一个时间像现在这样，我们的教会的人和教会的这个教堂的尖塔是分开的。
And so it makes me begin to think during these last few months, what is the purpose of the church and what is the purpose of the building?
所以这个让我在过去几个月一直在思想这个问题，这个教会的目的是什么？这个教堂，这个建筑物的目的是什么？And
which one really is the church?
哪一个是真正的这个 church?
Now in Chinese, it's a little more clear.
中文这两个分别相对来说比较清楚一些。Because
you have one word for the gathering, 教会。
因为你有一个词是讲人聚集在一起，这是教会。And
you have another term for the building, which is
教堂。另外有一个词就是讲这个建筑物，这是教堂。In
the biblical Greek, it actually, there's two different words as well.
希腊语里头，其实这两个词也是两个不同的词。The
New Testament refers to the naos as the temple or the building where people would come.
希腊语的 naos 讲的是那个圣殿或者是一个敬拜的地方。But
often referred to the ecclesia as the gathering of the people.
Ecclesia 这个希腊词就是讲人聚集在一起。But
in English we have kind of a bigger problem.
但是英语里头我们有一个更大一点的问题。Because
we use the same word to describe both.
因为是同一个词，这两个东西用的是同一个词。We
have church, the building, and church, the people.
所以这个教堂的建筑物也叫 church, 这个聚集在一起的信徒也叫 church。
And to make matters even worse, we use the same word to describe not only the local church, but also God's greater church.
更糟糕的是，我们在英语里头用同一个词，这个 church 这个词来描述我们当地的本地的教会和那个无形的普世的教会。
So it's no wonder that people get confused not only about the form of the church, but also the function of the church.
所以很多人就是对这个教会的形式和教会的功能非常的困惑。
So we have to ask ourselves today, who is College Station Chinese Bible Church?
我们必须要问一下我们自己大学生华人圣经教会是谁，是什么样的教会？
And in these days, what are we supposed to be doing?
特别是在这样的时间，这样的时候，我们应该做什么？
Ecclesiology is the study of both the mission of the church, but also the structure of the church.
教会学是研究教会的使命和教会的结构。
And it's an interesting study, especially as it overlaps with what we can visibly see happening throughout church history.
这是个非常有意思的事情，特别是因为它和教会的发展是重叠的。发展的历史是重叠的。
It covers not only how the church was started and how it's grown, but also focuses on the structure of the church and the qualification of its leaders.
它不仅仅是研究教会怎么样开始，怎么样发展，也讲到教会的结构和对教会领袖的资历的要求。
And it covers the reason that why the gathering is just that, a gathering of people who embrace the stated mission.
教会学最终讲到了为什么我们要聚集，聚集的原因，聚集的原因就是那些拥抱同样使命的人聚集在一起，这是教会。
So first, let's focus on the 教会 before we attempt to understand the purpose of the 教堂。
所以我们首先来看把重点放在教会，然后我们再会看这个教堂的作用是什么。
When I think about the mission of the church, it comes down really to four main scripture passages.
当我想到教会的使命的时候，我一定会讲到这四段圣经的经文。
And this is how we at Grace Bible Church have defined our mission statement.
这也是我们 GBC 来确定我们的使命宣言的这个依据。
We say we help people find and follow Jesus.
这个使命就是我们帮助人来找到、认识和跟随耶稣。
This is the simplest way I found to summarize both our role as believers and our role as the church.
这是我自己找到的能够来描述我们作为个人和作为教会整体的使命的这个经文。
It's a version of our mission that enables everyone to contribute according to their own gifting.
这个是我们每一个人都用神给我们的恩赐来为我们整个教会的使命来做贡献。
So I want to ask you to write down something that looks like a mathematics problem.
我鼓励大家把这个写下来，就相当于写一个数学问题一样。
Because the verses that I want to give you are important enough to look up once we're done today.
因为我今天要跟大家讲的那些经文是非常非常的重要重要到一个程度，我们将来会经常回头看这几段圣经。
So first write down the biblical church equals.
首先写下来，圣经的教会等于。
Four things that we're going to add together.
Yeah.
我们要讲四样东西今天。
The first thing is Matthew 28.
第一段。第一段是马太福音28章。
Let's go.
The second is Acts 1:8.
第二段是《使徒行传》第一章第八节。
The third is 2 Timothy 2:2.
第三段是《提摩太后书》第二章第二节。
And the fourth is Colossians 1:28.
最后是哥罗西书第一章第二十八节。
When we add these four verses together, we get a clear picture of the vision, the mission for the church.
我们把这个四段圣经放在一起，我们能够非常的看到教会的使命是什么。
If we teach these, practice these, if we pass these things on, these lead to an understanding of both a personal and corporate role in helping to fulfill God's desire.
如果我们来传讲，来操练，然后传承下去，把这几段圣经，那我们能够有一个更好的理解，我们作为个人，以及作为教会，教会的整体，来怎样来承担神对教会的希望盼望。
So the first of these familiar verses is the Great Commission.
所以这个第一段大家都非常熟悉的大使命。
It says that Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
大使命马太福音二十八十八到二十节，耶稣近前来对他们说，天上地下所有的权柄都赐给我了，所以你们要去使万民做我的门徒，奉父子圣灵的名给他们施洗，凡我所吩咐你们的都教训他们遵守，我就常与你们同在，直到世界的末了。
The Great Commission helps us to define what I call the scope of the mission.
这个大使命帮助我们来定位使命的内容范围。
We collectively, but also individually, are to do four things according to the Great Commission.
我们作为一个教会的整体，同时也是对我们个人来讲，我们要做这四件事情，来完成这个大使命。
The first is go.
第一个是要去。
This doesn't necessarily mean that we move across the world, although upon reflection, I realize that's what many in this audience have already done.
当然这个去并不一定是说你们要走遍世界，当然我往下看看，你们中间的很多人去了世界很多的地方。
But it does mean that every day we walk out of our door and understand that God's primary means of bringing people into relationship with Him is the relationships that He's given us.
但是这个意味着我们每天早上离开我们家的时候，我们应该认识到神让我们通过我们和他的关系，把这个关系，也给我们所碰到的其他的人。
Really, it's a willingness plus an intentionality to putting God's kingdom before our own kingdom.
这是一个愿意，并且也是个决定，我们要把神的国度放在我们自己的国度前面。
Secondly, we're supposed to make disciples.
第二个，我们要让人做门徒。
And this is the methodology of our biblical ministry.
这是我们事工的方法。
It's also the very center focus of this verse.
这也是这一节，这一段圣经的中心点。
We're challenged by this verse not just to sit passively, but and being poured into by the church, but to be active in pouring into others inside and outside the church.
这段圣经来挑战我们不要被动地坐在这里让教会来喂养，我们而应该做的是主动地来喂养教会内教会外的其他人。
And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes.
这个内容我一会儿还要再讲到。
The third part of this verse is that we're to make disciples among all the nations.
第三个事情是这个使万民 all of all nations, 万民做门徒，万民。
So when are we done with the scope of the mission?
所以这个使命的内容范围到哪里结束呢？
When people from every nation have the opportunity to hear the gospel and be with Jesus.
一直要等到万民世界每一个地方的人都有机会来听到福音，来认识耶稣。
At CSCBC, we might be a Chinese church because of the primary makeup of those who are in the congregation, but we're also a church that is reaching out to every other nation represented in our community and around the world.
大学生圣经华人圣经教会，我们可能说这是一个中文教会，因为我们这个成员的背景，但是我们同样也是一个教会，我们要把福音传到我们这个社区所代表的世界每一个国家。
This includes people who have lived here for a long time.
这也包括这些住在这个地方很长很长时间的人。
It includes the international students.
这也包括国际学生。
And all the nations that they represent.
以及他们所代表的他们来自的那些国家。
It includes the immigrant community from all countries.
这也代表了这个国家的所有的移民社区。
It includes the first and second and third and beyond generations of those that might have different cultures that live among us.
这个包括了第一代、第二代、第三代以及更后面的所有的人以及他们所代表的文化。
And the fourth part of the Great Commission is that we teach people to observe God's word.
第四件要做的就是我们要吩咐人来遵守神话语的教导。
It's clear that we don't just teach people to know, but we also teach people to obey our Bibles so that we can understand that it's the source of all truth.
我们不仅仅是要教人家知道，也要教人家跟着做因为这是圣经是所有真理的这个出处。
It's the filter that governs our decisions.
圣经是一个过滤器，它指导我们的决定。
It settles our disputes.
解决我们的冲突。
It defines our relationships.
来定位我们的关系。
And is the central focus above all other traditions and cultural expressions.
这是真正的重点这个重点比所有的文化和传统来得更重要。
That's the scope of our mission.
这就是我们使命的内容范围。
And it seems like a lot.
这个好像听起来好像很多
So God graciously gives us some further instruction in Acts 1:8.
但是神非常贴心的又给了我们其他进一步的指导在使徒行传第一章第八节。
Which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
使徒行传第一章第八节，但圣灵降临在你们身上，你们就必得着能力，并要在耶路撒冷、犹太全地和撒玛利亚，直到地极，做我的见证。
For me, this passage helps us to understand the sequence of the mission.
对我来说，这段经文帮助我来理解这个使命的次序。
First, when we become believers in Jesus, we are indwelled and empowered.By the Holy Spirit.
首先，当我们成为耶稣基督的信徒的时候，圣灵内住，并且给我们能力。
It's the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit that is to help us accomplish everything that God has asked us to be a part of.
圣灵的工作就是帮助我们来做神要我们做的事情。
We were never.Placed under the expectation of completing the task of the Great Commission in our own strength.
我们其实从来并不是说我们靠我们自己个人的能力能够来完成大使命的这些工作，靠了我们自己的能力。
Second, this passage helps us to understand that we are the witnesses of God to the world.
第二个，这段经文的第二点就是我们是 神让我们把神的话语传给世界的见证人。
Oftentimes we discuss evangelism as if it's a choice that we're making.
有时候我们常常把传福音描述成一个我们自己做的决定。
The scary thing is that we are witnessing about Christ every day as we live our lives.
这个有点让人害怕的是，其实我们每一个人在我们每一天的生活中，我们都是在为神做见证。
In our everyday life, we're already painting a picture of what it might look like to live life as a Christian.
我们在我们每一天的生活中，其实我们在描述给别人看的是怎样，基督徒应该怎样的生活。
So as people look at you, as they look at me, what are they understanding about being a believer?
所以人看你，看着我。他们是怎样来理解基督徒是什么样的一个人？
Every action,
我们的每一件动作，
Every word we speak,
我们说的每一句话，
Every act of service,
我们这个服事的每一个动作，
Every promise we make,
我们的每一个承诺，
We are publicly expressing a meaningful faith in Christ to others.
我们在向人来展示我们的信仰，信仰的意义。
A convicting question for me is, does my witness ring true of who Jesus is?
这个我们要问的一个问题是，我的见证是不是真实的表现出来耶稣的样子？
In my daily life, am I painting an accurate,biblical portrait of Jesus to other people.
在我们每天的生活中，我们是不是向人展示圣经里所描述的耶稣的样子？
Third, this passage explains a series of what I like to call concentric circles.
第三个是这段圣经描述了，用我的话就是一系列的同心圆。
Think about the geography of the Holy Land.
我们可以来考虑一下圣地的这个地理情况。
First, you have Jerusalem as the capital city in Judea that's just around that.
首先，耶路撒冷是中心首都，然后犹大全地是围绕到四周。
A little further out, we have Samaria.
稍微出去一点点，有撒玛利亚。
And then we have to the very ends of the earth is the biggest part.
然后最大的一部分是直到地极。
Can I try to redefine this a little bit in our own context?
我能不能把这些地理概念用我们自己的现状来重新定义一下呢？
For Jerusalem and maybe a little bit of Judea, it's like people that live near you that are actually pretty much like you.
耶路撒冷和犹大全地讲的是这个地方离你很近，这些人也跟你非常接近，非常像。
With these people, there are very few barriers to cross to have a good understanding or a good conversation.
这些人和你之间几乎很少有屏障来影响你们的交流。
It might not just be language and culture. It could be that you speak engineering or you speak accounting or youspeak soccer or dance or some other way of connecting.
这个不仅仅是地理上或者是文化背景上，也可以是你的专业背景可能跟你非常相似，或者你是学工程的或者你喜欢跳舞等等。
The main point is the barriers are low.
这个重点就是说这个屏障，你们之间的屏障是非常非常的低的，或者几乎没有。
But our Samaria is a little bit different.
撒玛利亚这个情，我们的撒玛利亚的情况就有一点点不一样了。
It's not too far away from us, but we begin to notice that not everyone is maybe culturally the same.
这个地方离你其实并不是太远，但是你会意识到这些人跟你不一样，文化上跟你不一样。
So near us, but not always just like us.
所以离我们近，但是跟我们不完全一样。
There may not be high geographic barriers, but certainly cultural barriers.
也许地理上的屏障是不明显或者不大，但是文化上的屏障是很明显。
It's what we might define as a cross-cultural ministry.
这个就是我们常常定义成跨文化的事工。
And then we have the ends of the earth.
然后我们最后有直到地极。
These are people that are, they're neither near you, nor are they like you.
这些是讲的那些人，他们离你很远，并且也跟你完全不一样。
So you have both geographical barriers, but also cultural barriers too.
所以你们有地理上的屏障和文化上的屏障。
This is kind of what we think most often in the missions context.
这个我们传道士的时候常常会把这样的一个情景我们放在这样的情景之中。
Where people would have to prepare to go.
为了让装备那些传道士去传道。
Maybe learn a new language.
可能需要学一种新的语言。
Identify with a new culture.
要学习另外一种文化。
All for the purpose of helping people understand who Jesus is and helping them to grow.
这些准备都是为了让人能够更好的认识耶稣是谁帮助他们成长，让他们认识耶稣。
Now, I know many people are focused on the ends of the world being a little bit scary.
很多人觉得直到地极听起来觉得让人有点害怕。
But the scariest word in this verse for me is the word and.
其实对我来说，这个最让我害怕的并不是地极这个词，而是和，中文说极。
In many ways, most of us wished it said or.
我们很多人认为真是希望这不是和而是或者。
We wish that maybe the scope of our responsibilities was just limited, maybe just to those that were close to us, or maybe just those that were far from us. But the word and means that as a person and as a church, each group is equally valuable to God and equally involved in our responsibility.
也许我们中间的很多人希望我们的使命和责任只是限于这中间讲到的一项或者是离你不是很远或者是离你很远，但是圣经在这里教导我们的是我们的责任是这三项都是我们的责任，不管是对我们个人来说还是对我们教会整体来说。
So that's the sequenceOf the mission of the church.
所以这里讲到的是使命的次序。
Moving from what's close to include everything that is far.
这个次序是从你身边开始一直到最远的地方，包括所有的人，所有的地方。
Then we get to 2 Timothy 2:2.
下面我们会来讲提摩太后书第二章第二节。
It says this, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
提摩太后书第二章第二节，你在许多见证人面前听见我所教训的，也要交托那忠心能教导别人的人。
This passage outlines what I would call the strategy of the mission.
这段圣经描述的是我称作为使命的策略。
That strategy is multiplying discipleship.
这个策略就是不断的来培养使门徒。
Notice the four different levels mentioned in the verse.
大家可能会想到我们前面讲的这个四个层次。
You have Paul talking to Timothy.
在这里保罗在跟提摩太教导提摩太。
And he tells Timothy to find some faithful men that he can teach.
在这里保罗跟提摩太说你要找到一些忠心的人，这些忠心人能够教导别人。
Who are able to teach other people also.
你去教导那些人，而这些人也能够去教导其他的人。
So we have been given this task of moving beyond being just Christian consumers to becoming spiritual multipliers.
所以在这里教导我们，只是我们应该从只当自己是一个消费者，要一直要往前走，走到我们在属灵上能够让更多的人能够成为门徒。
If we reflect, we understand this is how our faith came to us.
如果我们自己来回想我们自己，其实这也是我们怎么样来认识神，也是因为别人。
And now we have the responsibility of passing our faith on to others.
所以我们有这个责任，要把我们的信仰传承到其他的人，下面一个层次的人。
Let me ask you a funny question.
让我来问大家一个好笑的事情，问题。
Where are you in the family tree of your faith?
你在这个信仰的这个家谱里头，你是在哪里？
If you think about it, the goal is to be something like a spiritual grandparent, great grandparent, right? We want to be a great grandparent who lives long enough to see our great grandchildren.
我们都希望是我们是在这个属灵那个这个家谱里头，我们是祖父辈或者是曾祖父，我们能够看到我们的孙子儿孙啊能够成为信徒。
But many of us, even though we may have believed for a while, are still just spiritual children.
但是实际上，虽然我们中间有的人已经信主时间已经好多年，但是属灵上我们可能还是个孩子。
We haven't had the privilege or the opportunity or the experience of passing on our faith to someone else who passed it on to someone else who passed it on to someone else.
我们可能还没有这个经历，没有这个训练把我们的信仰传给这些人，然后他们再把信仰传给其他的人，然后再把信仰传给其他的人，一代一代的传承下去。
And I know this is part of the focus of the disciples making training that Lester and others have been teaching through the church.
我知道这个门徒训练这个工作是 Lester 和我们教会正在进行的。
This passage reminds us that God's plan A to reach the world is through us.
这段经文在提醒我们，神的最初的计划就是要把福音传给全地，是要通过我们。
So we must take the steps of faith and entrust what we know, what has been given to us, to other faithful people who will continue in the process.
所以我们必须要跨出这个信仰的这一步，教导那些其他的人，把我们所认识的教导给他们。
That's the strategy of the mission.
这个是使命的策略。
And here's the last part of the mission.
下面是第四部分，最后一部分，使命。
We find it in Colossians 1:28.
在哥罗西书第一章第28节。It
says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
我们传扬他是用诸般的智慧劝解个人，教导个人，要把个人在基督里完完全全的引到神的面前。
Anytime the Bible wants to emphasize something, it repeats the same word, everyone or garin.
每次这个圣经里头要强调他会说每一个人，每个人。
So I like it that this passage gives us kind of the success criteria for the mission.
我喜欢这段经文，因为这段经文是给出了我们使命成功的一个标准。
And it doesn't give it to us in terms of geography.
这个并不是这个成功的标准，并不是从地理 这个角度出发。
And it doesn't give it to us in terms of overall numbers.
这也并不是这个成功的这个标准，并不是人数这个数字。
But it gives us a success criteria in terms of maturity.
这个成功的标准是属灵上的成熟。
Together, we should help every person, every willing person, grow to maturity in their relationship with Jesus, as defined by the counsel of Scripture.
我们大家都要做的就是，来帮助每一个愿意听福音的人，接受主耶稣的人，让他们在属灵上能够成熟，在和耶稣基督的关系上能够成熟，按照圣经的教导。
Which is helping people become more like Christ.
归根结底就是来帮助别人，让他们更像耶稣。
Now that's the job, that's the mission of the church.
这就是我们的任务，这就是教会的使命。
And it's how it's applied to the gathering of the church.
这个是适用于我们信徒在一起聚集的我们的使命，就是我们前面说的。
Because honestly, if we don't understand how that we should commit ourselves to this, we will never have the right understanding of how God wants us to use the church building.
所以如果我们不明白神给我们的使命，那么我们就不会明白神给我们这个教堂这个地方这个意义这个作用是什么。
Biblically, the building is just a building.
从圣经的角度上讲，这个教堂实际上就是一个建筑物。
But it serves as a great resource to be used for gathering people together who are like-minded in the mission to learn from one another and to encourage one another and to provide clear answers.In a confusing world.
但是它是给了我们一个非常好的资源，让我们能够用它来在一起，我们是有同样的使命感，我们能够来彼此学习，彼此扶助，然后对这个充满混淆的世界来传达一个非常清晰的声音。
Bottom line is that the mission of God is just too big.For the individuals of the church to accomplish.
这个归根结底，神给教会的使命是那么的大，我们任何一个人个人是没有办法完成的。
So he gives us a place of corporate worship, of coming together, so that we don't stray from doing good.
所以神给了我们这个地方，这个教堂，让我们来做团体的敬拜，所以我们能够不会在做我们善工的时候会走偏掉。
Hebrews, as we read before, puts it this way.
我们前面一开始读到的希伯来书是这样说的。
Says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day.Drawing near.
希伯来书第十章二十四到二十五节，又要彼此相顾，激发爱心，勉励行善。你们不可停止聚会，好像那些停止惯了的人，倒要彼此劝勉。要知道那日子临近，就更当如此。
So as a dispersed congregation, why should we have the goal of coming back together at the right time?
所以对于一个这个人数好像都散掉的人不多的一个教会，为什么我们要选择在这个时候让大家来回到教会呢？
Maybe it's best explained by what happens when we don't come together.
要回答这个问题，也许最好是我们来看看，如果我们不到教会，在家里是什么样的一个情况。
For me, I know that I start becoming lazy.
我讲我自己，我知道在家里我会变得懒惰。
Not always lazy in every aspect of my life, but I become lazy in the spiritual of my life.
并不是说所有的东西都懒惰不做，但是我讲的是在属灵方面，我会变得懒惰。
Without regular reminders, to be honest, I just begin focusing on myself, my own agenda, and my own goals.
因为没有弟兄姐妹常常的提醒，那我的注意力就是我自己的事情我自己的日程和我自己的目标。
Second, when I'm not gathering as part of the church, I can become too busy.
第二点是当我不和没有和教会在一起聚会的时候，我会变得比较忙。
I ignore my Sabbath. I ignore God being in control of my life, and I try to work out all the needs that I have to provide for myself.
我会忘掉安息，忘掉神给我们的安息，而想做的是有自己有那么多事情去做，所以我会变得很忙。
When I'm not gathering at the church, my thinking starts becoming too narrow.
当我不在教会聚会的时候，我的思想，就会变得比较狭窄。
Without encouragement and without accountability, I begin to rest in the smallest version of the truth without being challenged by other people.
因为没有其他人的鼓励，没有一个大家在一起的那种问职的制度，我常常会进入到一个接受这个事实，然后没有任何人会来挑战这样进入这样一种状态。
And without gathering on a regular basis, I can start to stray from the mission that God has given me as a believer.
And 如果没有和大家在一起公开的聚会的话，我会慢慢的在这个服事的这个路上就会慢慢的就走偏。
My attention
迷路
and my desires start being captured by something other than God's word and God's people.
我的心思意念我想所思所想会被其他的东西来俘获，而不是想的是我自己的弟兄姐妹。
I want to be really clear this morning.
我今天早上想非常清楚地告诉大家。
I know that the decision to come back to regather as a church on Sunday is way too complex for me to answer for any other person.
我知道作为一个教会我们星期天来回到教会来聚会，这是个非常复杂的问题我也没有办法来为每一个人个人的情况来解释怎么样来做这个决定。
There are very real issues of health and public responsibility.
确实有健康的问题和这个公共责任的问题。
But when the pandemic begins to decline, we will be faced with the decision of whether and when we should re-engage with the public gathering of God's people.
但是当这个疫情慢慢的接近结束的时候，我们一定会面对这样一个决定，就是我们什么时候来重新使我们的弟兄姐妹重新来聚集以一个公共的方式来敬拜我们的神，作为我们作为神的子民。
And with all the criteria that we will have to sift through, I just want and I hope that that decision will be made within the context of understanding the mission of our church rather than just the convenience.
所以我希望的是当我们考虑各种各样的因素来做这个决定的时候，让我们首先要想到的是我们教会的使命把这个放在我们这个家庭的这个便利之上。
Let me pray.
我们一起祷告。
Father, we are faced with so many difficulties throughout this pandemic, this process, Father, with family, with jobs, with other things that are really difficult. I pray that in each time and space that you give us in the decision-making process of whether we would join back together or not, that we would have all your wisdom, Father, to make a decision that's in faith, that we can be faithful to the cause that you have given us, to the purpose and the vision that you have given us as a church. And that as we come back together, as we regather as the body of Christ, that our vision for what you have called us to will not have drifted away, but it will be renewed, that you have been preparing us to reach out to those that are around us all the way to the ends of the earth. Father, that that we would find a new energy and a new joy in serving. And pray that we do this through the empowerment that you provide through your Holy Spirit. Be with us, Lord, as we worship you, even though we do so from many different places today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.